The Anton Savage Show Saturday
with Nifty Business on News Talk.
During the week last week, the Anoraktis Committee made a recommendation that assisted dying would go on to the statute books in Ireland, that it would be legal for somebody whose life is coming to an end through a terminal illness to shorten that process, as long as they have certain recommendations that it would be that you would be within 6 to 12 months of the likely point of your death, and that you might be able to thereby take it into your own hands in and around that time, which would be a fairly significant shift in terms of the legal position in Ireland. For those that it matters to, it matters greatly. Some of them represented by Janie Lazar, who's with us. She's chairperson of the End of Life Ireland. We're going to be talking to her in a second. Before that, though, we are joined by Rebecca Wilcox. And Rebecca Wilcox is the daughter of Esther Ranson. Esther Ranson, of course, one of the most significant broadcasters, public figures on TV in the UK for several decades. Recently diagnosed with lung cancer, has stage 4 lung cancer, and has been talking about her own desire to be able to take control of the end of her life and how difficult that is in the UK, where the legislation is very similar to the way that it is here in Ireland. Here's what Esther Ranson had to say.
I have joined Dignitas. I have, in my brain, thought, well, if the next scan says nothing's working, I might buzz off to Zurich. But, you know, it puts my family and friends in a difficult position because they would want to go with me. And that means that the police might prosecute them. So we've got to do something. At the moment, it's not really working, is it?
So that's Esther Ranson talking about her own experience and intent in relation to assisted dying. And of course, Dignitas being the organisation that supplies that in Switzerland. Rebecca Wilcox, her daughter, is with us. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Rebecca, can you, first of all, can you tell me how you had or how you dealt with that conversation with your mum? Because it is obviously one extremely difficult thing to deal with a loved one's diagnosis of a terminal illness. It must be also very difficult to deal with the kind of discussion that you must have had with your mum.
Yes, very difficult. And many families, unfortunately, are having very similar conversations and debating, you know, the pros and cons of supported assisted dying by going to Dignitas, which basically just means dignity in dying. It means not having the kind of death that the very brave Diana Rigg, Dame Diana Rigg, recorded, and her daughter released those audio tapes, which are a powerful listen for anybody that is undecided about this. But basically, my mum, as you say, broadcaster extraordinaire, loves surprising her family as much as she does the nation. We knew her point of view. We know her personality very well. We knew which way she would go on this. But the announcement to the Times newspaper and then to the Today podcast was a bit of a surprise. My brother likes to describe being a child of Esther Ranson as living next to a volcano and not knowing when it's going to explode. But it's usually quite a genial explosion.
So in this instance, as she says in that clip there, the issue is that it can be very impactful on friends and family, because I assume you're now faced with the decision that if you facilitate and assist your mum in what she intends to do, you put yourself at legal risk. And if you don't, you put yourself in a very difficult emotional position.
Of course, it's absolutely right. The problem that we have in this country is the laws are murky. If you come back having accompanied your loved one to Dignitas, you face prosecution. And I know that the rates are low for people being prosecuted, only about 3 people a year, but you still face 2 years of investigation, which one is a hugely painful process at a ridiculously painful time because you've just lost your loved one. And two, it's incredibly expensive in terms of legal fees. Your work, your loved ones, your friends, everybody who might know you will be interviewed about you. There was a case reported in the assisted dying care reform legislation report that came out just recently. And two sisters went through this process, having taken their mum to Dignitas. And one of them tried to commit suicide. It was so traumatic having the investigation after the death of their mother. I'm also deputy president of Childline. I have to sign a code of ethics. I have to have lots of character references. And if I am under investigation by the police, I wouldn't be able to do that role. You know, my brother is a doctor. I don't think he would be able to continue doing that. My sister, who is very unwell at the moment, was formerly a social worker. None of our jobs would allow us to be arrested for helping our mother at the worst time in her life. And none of us could let her go by herself. And the other thing about Dignitas is that she would have to go before her time. The rules around it necessitate her leaving with enough health in reserves that she has two doctors sign her off as mentally coherent, as she has the capacity to go. And it's a safeguarding process that I respect. But it does mean that she would end her life before she is ready to go. Whereas if she was able to die at home, surrounded by her loved ones, it would really be at the time that she is, her health would dictate.
And Rebecca, can I, devil's advocate for those who may have the concerns about it, it's obviously a difficult area, but there will be some who will say, but look, under the current legislation, your mum can get the best of palliative and hospice care. There is very good advances in terms of pain medication and the capacity to ameliorate any kind of suffering in that process. And it could be a natural process with friends and family around, and that would be fine.
Well, look, not to diminish that point at all. Palliative care in the UK, I'm not sure of Ireland, I'm sure it's the same, is gold standard, but patchy. The report said it was patchy. Some places it's 10 out of 10, some places it's 1 or 2. So that needs to be brought up. We need to have greater palliative care across the whole country so that everyone receives the same service. And palliative care nurses and doctors are fantastic people doing a very, very difficult job. But we know from so many accounts that at the end of a person's life, especially if it's something like cancer or motor neurone, opioids don't touch the pain. You can and will probably die in a lot of pain those last days. I spoke to Dr. Hilary Jones last week, and he spoke about his mother's death and him as a doctor having to watch the last 10 days of extraordinary pain and not being able to help her. And things like morphine didn't help. And that's palliative care viewed from a doctor's perspective, also a son. And it's very important to have these arguments against. It's very important to hear people's worrying about safeguarding, because that means that the legislation that comes in can fully respect those. But I also would like everybody who has questions against assisted dying to reveal whether those are faith-based or genuine concerns of safeguarding, because I think it's helpful to know whether it's because that you believe that life is sacrosanct and it's God's decision to end your life, or whether you believe there's a slippery slope. Because the slippery slope that people often quote, which is a reduction in palliative care and also opening up the assisted dying to mental illness, that doesn't exist. They have researched every country that has allowed assisted dying, and the slippery slope is not there. Palliative care stays the same or improves in those countries. And the countries that have opened it up to mental illness have walked back from that. And there was only one country in one state. Everyone else that has introduced assisted dying, assisted suicide, has kept it. And they're proud of it. And it's working.
Rebecca, without wishing to pry, obviously people listening will be concerned about your mum. How is she now?
You know, living with stage 4 lung cancer is horrible. Even if the symptoms are managed, the stress and depression surrounding a terminal diagnosis is something that sadly many people will be familiar with. And she is a fantastic fighter, and she is hanging on in there and is still herself, and we're incredibly proud and happy that she's still with us. But the fact is, we shouldn't be having this conversation. I shouldn't be spending time talking to you about it. I'm very grateful to be, don't get me wrong. This should be her choice to end her life the way she wants to, surrounded by her loved ones, in no pain and with great dignity, as she has lived her life. And thank you for asking. And, you know, God willing, she's still okay for as long as possible, and this conversation doesn't have to have an end for her case anytime soon. But when she spoke to Keir Starmer, he made a commitment to bring in legislation within the next 5 years. To be honest with you, that's too late for mum, and it's too late for thousands of people. So while she's okay now, we need something to happen also now. It needs to be imminent. It needs to be caring for the people that are having such a difficult time. You know, I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional, but Mum is a strong, wonderful person, but even this is not something she can take on alone.
Rebecca, thank you very much for your time this morning. And your mum, of course, will not remember it, but I had the pleasure of interviewing her a number of years ago and found her to be an absolute consummate professional and a joy to
her. She absolutely does remember it. I said I was speaking to you today.
Well, will you pass on my absolute best wishes to her?
Of course, of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Rebecca. That is Rebecca Wilcox, Esther Ranson's daughter. And one of the things that Rebecca Wilcox was talking about there was the duration of time for legislation like this to come in, which is the issue that will be faced in Ireland, that if the committee's recommendations are acted upon, it will be a long time. And that would be significant for people who are in a similar situation to Esther Ranson. Janie Lazar has been listening to what Rebecca Wilcox had to say. She's chairperson of End of Life Ireland. I assume you have the same concerns, that speed is of the essence if it is to happen.
Very much so, Anton, and thank you for the time on the show today. First of all, Rebecca, thank you. You've summed up exactly our situation in Ireland, and my heart goes out to you and your family that you shouldn't be spending precious time trying to fight for something that is doing the right thing, if you like. Our concern really is we know in Ireland We've faced difficult issues before. We've faced difficult issues before, but we know it is time to legislate here. You know, people will be familiar with the case of Mari Fleming. 10 years on, we are now in a position to legislate. The Oireachtas can legislate. We know that when things are needed and wanted and where there is political will, they can happen.
Now, to that, do you believe that there will be political will? Because this strikes me as an area that politically is a very delicate one to walk into and a very difficult one to see where there are votes in.
It is, but again, we've seen from other jurisdictions, no politician ever loses votes from doing the right thing. Legislation will provide choice and protect everyone. Of course, we want everyone to be protected, everyone to feel safe. And the safeguards are there. They've been proven to work.
How many people do you think this would impact in a given year?
It's difficult to say because not all the figures are readily available. But what we do know is that people want to have the choice. If legislation exists, they can have control. And obviously, if they apply, they're assessed, they are deemed eligible, they will have control over the one aspect of their life that they can. Everything else, with a terminal condition or a neurological degenerative condition, you're losing control increasingly by the day. And only that person can determine when they have had enough.
So did you see the committee recommendation on Thursday as a breakthrough?
Very much so. And I really, really feel that over the years, you know, going back to John Halligan's bill, Gina Kenny's first bill, we've been there. We have seen the research, and all the time more and more research, more expertise is there for government to draw upon. This committee have done their work.
If you do see a challenge in it becoming law, how much of it is what Rebecca Wilcox was saying there, the dividing line between people who have a logical or ethical concern and people who have a religious concern? Do you think there will be many who will say, look, I am unconvincible because as far as my religion says, this is a sin, therefore we ain't going down that road?
And that's why we would call it voluntary assisted dying. You know, if something wouldn't be your own choice, why would you not support another when they have made a rational, informed decision? The safeguards are there to address any concerns over coercion. And let's remember, coercion can go both ways. A family may be so desperate to hold on to somebody that somebody who has made that rational decision could be persuaded out of it. And they have already determined they have had enough. They are dying. Why would you deny another person the right to choose.
Undoubtedly, you will have been trying to judge what political appetite there is to follow up on the committee decision. What sense are you getting? Because we have seen committee recommendations that have been made that have been settled nicely onto a top shelf and that have gathered dust literally for decades. So would you be of the belief that this will be any different?
Goodness, a little while back, somebody said to me, trust your public representatives. And I would hope, having sat through every single committee meeting, having listened to all of the witness submissions, that politicians now would say, we can't kick the can along the road. Let's go back to Murray Fleming. 10 years on, the Oireachtas were advised they could legislate. They've done their research. It's time. It's time to legislate.
Janie, thank you very much. That is Janie Lazar, who is chairperson of End of Life Ireland, and before her, Rebecca Wilcox, who is the daughter of Esther Ranson.
The Anton Savage Show, Saturday.
With Nifty Business.
Saturday morning at 9. On News Talk.